Finchy, we're just watching the replay here from Fox. Last night, the Raiders holding on. The very last play, Sivo, you think for your life will score. He doesn't. And that replay there could be the very replay that gets him into the finals ultimately.
It's similar to the like at the 2020 cricket, how the bats got bigger, the fields got smaller.
Yeah.
Like everything was to the batter. A lot of it's all attacking now because they've taken out the corner post. You can't shoulder charge as defender. So how are you supposed to, in that situation, stop a player from going in? That's like one in a million, that for a partner. To lead in, get the hip, not to get the knee, for no part of his body to hit Sivo's head, and for the catch the hip and then get him out. Unbelievable tackle. And like you said, that just could get them back into the top eight and into a finals.
Absolutely.
In a couple
of weeks' time. We've got the CEO of the RLPA about to join us, Clint Newton. Before we do so, big news yesterday where New Zealand and Australia have pulled out of the Rugby League World Cup. The Rugby Football League chairman, Simon Johnson, this is what he had to say.
The difficulty, I think, for us is that this selfish, parochial and cowardly decision is one that needn't have been taken, because the Rugby League World Cup organisers have bent over backwards to offer every assurance to the Australians and to the Kiwis. I think the British public would want to know why they've made that decision now about a tournament in October, when they have athletes currently in Tokyo participating in the Olympics, when their rugby union team, the Wallabies, is planning to come to Wales in October, when the New Zealand cricket team have been here already to participate. So there is something that the rugby league authorities believe that is insurmountable.
We're about to get the views of Clint Newton, the CEO of the RLPA. However, that was Simon Johnson who went whack. Here's what the ARLC chairman, Peter Volandis, had to say about it.
Human life comes first. Self-interest comes second. You know, there's a chance that they could end up in a hotel room for 14 days. In England at the moment, there's 40,000 positives per day. But the figure that alarmed us is there's 600,000 a week that are made to go into isolation if they've been with a close contact. Risks the player going over there, spending 14 days in a hotel room, then coming back to Australia and spending another 14 days in a hotel room. We're not prepared to take that risk. You know, I think they still think we're a colony and Governor Macquarie still in charge. Look, we make no apology. We're going to act in the best interests of our players, not self-interest. I'm sure that they're going to make, you know, substantial monies over there from the World Cup, but not at the expense of human life. And we didn't even look at how much we're going to lose by not going, because for us, the priority was the players and everything else is secondary. Look, we haven't heard back from them at this stage. I mean, at the moment, they're considering what they're going to do, because, you know, Australia and New Zealand are the two, you know, powerful nations in the rugby league world. So we'll just see what happens. But, you know, they postponed the Olympic Games last year. This is no different.
There you go. There's the chairman, Simon Johnson.
Isn't it good? As soon as I heard Simon Johnson fire up, you knew our man was going to come back twice as hard, Volandis, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Chairman meet chairman. It was Simon Johnson and Peter Volandis. But now the rugby league players, colony general, or governor, as he said. The great man, Clint Newton's on the line. G'day, Newto.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Mate, you've got a very challenging job at this stage of things. How are you finding it?
Yeah, I think it's all part of the package that comes with the rugby league environment. So yeah, it's just another thing that we've got to work through. But you know, we'll get through it. That's for sure, as we have done the last 18 months.
Yeah, sure. The funny thing is, Newdo's toughest job he's had has been looking after me for the last 15 years. So handling his job's a piece of cake. Newdo, how's it all going? I know we speak regularly, but how's all this COVID stuff? Is that all you deal with these days? Has it knocked things back you had, you know, on the list you wanted to put in place for the players, you know, players association, or is it just all being a COVID and moving forward with that?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the frustration for you, is the fact that there's a lot of things that Andrew Abdo and I want to progress, and you know, particularly in collaboration with the clubs and even the states in many respects as well. And a lot of that stuff gets put to the side because you're in crisis management and you've got to spend a lot of the time, you know, strategically thinking, or, you know, spending a lot of the time, you know, being critically thinking through things that have, you know, significant consequences on the game. So that's the part that is frustrating. But at the end of the day, it's necessary at the moment to spend a lot of our time and attention in addressing some of the issues that we're currently dealing with and what we have dealt with over the 18 months.
Nudo, where do you stand from the RLPA point of view as far as the, you know, the New Zealanders and the Australians pulling out of the World Cup? Have you got a view?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, it's certainly disappointing for players, you know, who are hoping to represent the nations in the tournament. You know, we've had feedback from a number of players eligible for these nations stating their intentions to compete in the tournament, pending more information becoming available in the coming weeks, because what we've always committed to do is work with the Rugby League World Cup organising body, with the IRL, with the Asia Pacific Confederation, and with the NRL, in ensuring that we continue to have discussions about player health and safety protocols. And we've also got an obligation to make sure that we advocate for the best terms and conditions for the players if or when they go to England. And we're still working through that process. So in our view, we believe, you know, this decision, it was premature. We still would have liked to have worked through a number of things that the Rugby League World Cup had committed to doing. But now we just have to turn our attention to those nations and the players that may end up playing in the tournament this year.
Mate, all the players are up on the Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast area. How hard was all that? All the players settled in up there? Has there been any issues coming out of the players moving to Southeast Queensland?
Well, I think what we've seen in the last 18 months, Brett, is the players are significantly resilient, and their ability to adapt, you know, to different circumstances that are thrown at them has been nothing short of outstanding. You know, particularly given the weight of responsibility that sits on their shoulders to continue to, you know, play the game, generate revenue for everyone in the game, including me as an administrator, and provide for the fans. I mean, we've seen now the last couple of years the impact that sport has on the community, and giving people something to look forward to on the weekend is a great responsibility that they've had to shoulder. And I think what they've done is they've got on with it. You've hardly heard anyone, you know, complain about their circumstances, because they're all acutely aware of what's going on around them. But it has been tough. You know, it doesn't, having somewhat of a privilege to continue to work, it doesn't come for nothing. You know, you've got to give up certain things. But again, they know that that's the responsibility that they've got at the moment. It's their watch right now to continue to, you know, play the games on the weekend. And obviously families are a big part of that, which they've committed to go now as well.
Clint, I'm sure you've heard this comment. We are speaking with Clint Newton from the RLPA CEO. I'm sure you've heard this comment, as I have had many times, and I defend it quite often, where people say, "Oh, stupid rugby league players." But my retort to that is often this: if you grabbed 500 young men of the same age in any industry, in any background, you're going to have a minority, regardless of how much they're being paid or not being paid, who are going to make mistakes. The most recent one seems to have been Uppy Coruscant. Have you got a particular view on that?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, at the moment, there's obviously a significant amount of sensitivity around the whole, the management of COVID-related matters and any breaches of protocols. And look, it's not about defending, you know, any of the actions that players have, and staff and officials that have done over the last 18 months. But the reality is, in these type of circumstances, yes, you know, 100% compliance is obviously the goal, but it's an unrealistic expectation to think that everyone is going to do the right thing every moment of the day. You know, and when you take into consideration that there's, you know, the best part of 800 or 900 people over the last 18 months have had to comply day in and day out, and not just, you know, comply with one or two things. It's a number of different things that they've got to comply with on a daily basis to ensure that they continue to meet the government regulations and the exemptions that they provide. I think they've done a great job. You know, can there be areas of opportunity to improve? Yeah, sure there can. But at the end of the day, they're human beings. They're not robots. They're going to make mistakes. We've just got to make sure that we limit those as best we can, and continue to support the people that are having to comply with these protocols to make sure that the game continues and we keep getting an exemption.
Well said. Speaking to Clint Newton, RLPA CEO, I want to ask you something, Clint, from a CEO point of view, and particularly in this role of CEO of the RLPA. How hard is it picking your battles? And what I mean by that is, you speak to school teachers and they'll go, you get some parents who who, you know, they're great to deal with. You know, they admit when their people are wrong or their kids are wrong, and you get other parents who, under no circumstances, are their kids ever in the wrong. And those are parents who are particularly hard to deal with. And in many ways, the analogy would be, you know, you're the parent and the players are the kids. How hard is it to know when to pick the battles? Because clearly your kids, or the players for that matter, can't always be in the right.
Oh, absolutely. And I think what we've seen over the last few years, and you know, particularly in my time since I came into the Players Association, one as general president in 2013 and then general manager in 16 and now CEO, you know, I'm certainly not a soft ear, you know, for players. You know, at various times you've got to have tough conversations with players, you know, and that's just part of the gig. You know, I think that if you shy away from those uncomfortable conversations that you've got to have with certain people, then you don't really stand for a whole lot. And there's been all sorts of situations that we've had to be a part of where, you know, sometimes amongst, you know, different players, you're not going to agree all the time. But at the same time, you've just got to stand by your values and say, if something, you know, if something happens that doesn't meet certain expectations, well, ask the question of why have we ended up here? And then was there anything else that we could have done to mitigate or reduce that from happening? And that's an all-in approach. It's not just down to one individual player. It comes down to myself, the game, the club, the coaches, the administration at each individual club. Because as you say, mate, we're getting players come in. It's therefore our responsibility when they come in to make sure we're providing the best possible environment to one, either generate some behavioural change that comes into the game with those players, or to make sure that they're in the best possible position to make good decisions and advance themselves as people.
I can back him up there, Joel, on sitting people down for tough conversations. I've been on the receiving end a few of those in the last 6 or 7 years. That's where I'll probably give you good practice, you know.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, Joel, one thing Clint's great at, and he's got devil's advocate. Like, yeah. Clint's very strong on his beliefs and on what he believes in and how things should be done, but he'll sit down and go, well, he'll listen to the other side. He'll understand their point of view, but still believe this is what.
Yep.
You know, how's this relationship there with the NRL when they jumped in and made a few of those changes, the rules, without consultation with the players? Because that's one thing about you. You're very open-minded and, like I said, devil's advocate. While you do have your opinion and what you believe is right, you're never closed-minded and got the blinkers on like some people can be.
No, I think that's probably the opportunity that you've got when you're the appointed representative body of the players. It would be irresponsible, Brett and Joel, for me personally to make individual decisions or assumptions about certain things prior to getting all the information, because ultimately our job is to make sure that we're representing the players, but at the same time, we're advancing the interests, not just of the players, but the game, you know, because there is no one that suffers more than the players, really, that if we make bad decisions that have different consequences, you know, be that financial or otherwise, or from a health and safety perspective, players are the ones that are going to wear it, you know, just as much as anyone else. So we have to work through it without any level of subjective bias, make sure we get the information and then take that to the playing group and make sure we canvass the players, because that's ultimately who I report to, and then come forward with a collective position. Now, when things change, that in particularly in situations where the change impacts players, you know, our firm position is that when it does impact a player, that not only, you know, do we need to be a part of the process when gathering the information, but we need to be a part of the decision-making process as well. Because realistically, if we're going to ask people to comply or going to ask people to carry out the objectives that are set out through any change, then they have to be part of that process and part of the decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's been a challenge, even in the last 24 hours with the decision about the Rugby League World Cup, is that right now we hadn't provided the RLC or anyone with advice that players en masse were not going to play. And that was something that we would have liked to have been a part of the decision making.
Clint, many, many text messages here. Very impressed by you, mate. And I will say this. I first met representatives of the Rugby League Players Association in the bows at Cogra Jubilee Oval in 1995, 26 years ago. And I will say this, mate, what I believe anyway, you're the best we've seen. So, mate, congratulations on what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And next time, we'd love to get you on a bit longer.
No, thanks, guys, and Joel, you've got a tough gig there. So make sure he takes a break and make sure you settle him down. Right. And
You've had to do it for 40 years. Sugar can get through the next 3 hours, hopefully.
Yeah, right,
mate. I'm happy to pass the baton over at any point.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to see you running that play. Anyway, thank you very much, Nuno. This is Drive with Joel and Fletch today. Brett Finch, thanks to Hyundai, the all new Hyundai Tucson. Test drive the Tucson today. A very impressive man is Clint Newton. There's no doubt about that. But coming up next, another impressive man, Pat Welsh, for a full Olympics preview.